Columbia River Gorge, wherever these petroglyphs are, and they're all over the world, they have these common symbols. And he's identified some of the symbols as relating to these elements, these Ormus elements. And he claims that these, he's actually assayed these symbols, or these rocks that the symbols are on, and found that the ones where they say this is the best one really seem to be the best.
Mm.
They seem to be very, very good sources of these minerals. Some of these rocks also contain warnings. Don't use this one, too much arsenic, for example, or too much lead. And indeed, those are the rocks that have too much arsenic or lead. So this is the most ancient reference. And we've heard of alchemy for centuries. You know, alchemy is, predates Christianity as far as anybody can tell. And there are all kinds of alchemical information out there. There's something, the Egyptians had something called Mufkusti. M-F-K-A-T is the way it's spelled, but Mufkusti, I think, is the way some people say it should be pronounced. Ancient Israelites had showbread and manna, which was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. And, you know, this stuff, remember I said it would fly away from your hands, it would levitate?
Right, right.
Well, they say that the Ark of the Covenant, with this stuff in it, would levitate. There's a book called The Alchemy Key. Stuart Nettleton, a friend in Australia, wrote it. And in it, he wrote, Jewish Midrashim commentaries describe how the Ark of the Covenant levitated and carried along some of the people who were supposed to be carrying it. Okay? Now, quantum coherence has been associated with levitation. If you get everything spinning coherently, for example, at the center of our galaxy, there's a beam of energy and light and matter coming out of the poles of the center of the galaxy. It's called the DNA Nebula. You can Google it.
Hmm.
And there's a picture. It looks like a twin spiral of DNA.
Hmm.
Energy and matter coming out the pole of the spinning galaxy. And there seems to be evidence that in line with the axis of spin that there is an anti-gravity effect. And perhaps what's happening is when the Ormus, which is present everywhere, as far as we can tell so far, in much greater abundance than the precious metal elements, the Ormus form is much more common, that these Ormus elements have a anti-gravity effect in line with the axis of spin. So when you have something spinning coherently, like our galaxy, or like the Earth, or like, you know, whatever you've got, you have a bit of an anti-gravity effect in line with the axis of spin. If you get, have you ever seen the picture of the pyramid with the DNA coming, DNA shape coming out of the apex of the pyramid?
No.
There's pictures on the internet. A fellow, I think it's Nelson, is his last name. He observed, used Carillion photography or something like that, to take a picture of a pyramid shape. And in the picture, you can see this DNA-shaped double helix coming out of the apex of the pyramid. The pictures are on the web. It's pretty easy to find them. It was Dr. J.D. Nelson, University of Wyoming. This was done in 1979. And you can see this double helix coming out of the apex of a pyramid. This seems to be a common effect. Well, pyramids, the ancient Egyptians used pyramids.
Sure.
So we think maybe they were aware of these energies that the pyramid shape would generate. Also, they had the sacrament of bread and wine, and they had white bread. But see, their white bread in the Egyptian hieroglyphs was also spoken of as being gold.
Hmm.
White bread made from gold.
Hmm.
Now, I've actually made a white flour, a white powder, from gold. I've done it using two or three different methods, and it's easy to do. None of these methods, well, maybe the peroxide method would be difficult for people in ancient Egypt to do, but some of these methods could certainly have been done by ancient Egyptians.
And you actually baked something after you made the bread?
Well, I just made the flour.
I mean, after you made the flour.
I could have made it into bread. I could have made it into a cone shape or a pyramid shape.
Uh-huh.
And I suspect that if I had, that I would have been aware of the energy coming out of the apex of that pyramid.
Is this also like what was called manna in the Bible?
Absolutely. Or at least I think it is.
Uh-huh.
Here's an interesting quote from the Bible. Moses took the golden calf, which the Israelites made for worship, and burned it in the fire and ground it to a powder and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Now, how do you burn gold, first of all? Well, I burned gold and made it into a white powder. I've done it. And the technology I used could easily have been done by Moses. And why would he make them drink of this gold?
Yeah.
Well, here's what we think. He did it to improve their spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because the gold, as Ormus gold, seems to improve the quantum coherent connection. Improve our connection to everything.
Wow.
There's a book called Pillar of Celestial Fire. It was written by Robert Cox. And it's about ancient references to these things. The Vedic seers call this powder basma, or ash, because it resembled a fine white ash and because it was the final product left over when ordinary matter was exposed repeatedly to the fiery process of tapas, or spiritual evolution. There's references, ancient Chinese alchemist Wei Po Yang wrote of the pill of immortality, which is made of Huan Tan, an edible powder from gold. After one ingests wonton, the complexion becomes rejuvenated. Hoary hair regains its blackness, and new teeth grow where fallen ones used to be. If an old man, he will once more become a youth. If an old woman, she will regain her maidenhood. That sounds kind of useful.
Wow.
Yeah.
This was
ancient Chinese alchemist.
Yeah. Do you have recipes on your website for making this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk a little bit about that and any place that you're going to be doing workshops? Why don't you let people know how they can get in touch with you, Barry?
I'm going to be doing a presentation at the Body, Mind, Spirit Conference a month from now in Portland,
okay,
Oregon. And I will be doing a couple presentations there. And Dorian today, the guy that has explored the ancient petroglyph references to these materials, will also be giving a presentation. People can get in touch with me on my website, subtleenergies.com, or by sending me an email to B. Carter, B-C-A-R-T-E-R, at IGC, that's Institute for Global Communications, IGC.org. B. Carter at IGC.org.
All right.
And methods for making it?
Yeah.
Well, one very easy method is you make a concentrated lye solution by mixing lye with distilled water. When you mix the lye into the distilled water, you'll get a vapor that you don't want to breathe. It's just very caustic fumes, and they'll dissolve your tissues. You don't want to get lye on your skin because it will dissolve your skin. But you drip this solution, a tablespoon of lye in a cup of water, for example. You drip this solution into seawater or sea salt dissolved in water and bring the pH, the alkalinity, up to 10.78 and no higher with seawater. And you'll get a white precipitate. The white precipitate will be probably about 30% to 40% ormus elements, mostly rhodium. Iridium and gold are rhodium is, of the ormus elements, rhodium is about 70%, and iridium and gold are about 15 or 10% each. And that's all there is to it. It's very easy to make. The problem, one of the problems with this is, it's very easy to go from metal to ormus. It's very difficult to go from ormus to metal.
Sure, and that's the alchemy, huh?
Yeah. And it's, people have done it, but generally it costs more than the metal's worth to do it. So that isn't a real high priority, making metal. Besides, you know, you can't eat gold, but you can eat ormus gold.
Right, and is that kind of like white powder gold?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the same stuff.
It's the white powder gold, absolutely.
Terrific.
In nature, it seems to be the rarer the element is as metal, the more common it is as ormus.
Okay.
The ormus state seems to be the most common state in nature. Hundreds of thousands to millions of times more common than the metallic state.
Fascinating stuff, Barry. We're out of time, but thanks so much for letting us know about ormus. And folks, visit Barry's website, subtleenergies.com. And thank you again, Barry. Very informative.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. And this is Tom Morasso from BornToManifest.com signing off. We'll see you next time. Peace out, and we love you.